You know, what if your friend came to you and he said, we've been gone out of town and we pulled up in the drive and somebody was living in the house, and I asked them, what are you doing? And they said, well, we're taking your house over. You know, it's no longer yours. So I went back out to the car and I told the family, well, I thought we owned this house, but I guess we don't. I've been making the mortgage payments, but they said it's theirs. So all we can do is leave. You would think that guy was in his wrong mind. Man, what is the matter with you? Call the police. Don't leave your house. Did you know that's the way some people are with their spiritual life? They've let the devil come in and move in their house, keeping them from getting all the blessings of God. Now, the reason they do that is because they feel unworthy. And they're constantly in fear that they've done something wrong. They go around with a whipped attitude and a whine in their voice. They live a defeated life because they don't have any confidence of winning any blessings or battles of life. They have no confidence that they can do anything and be successful. That is called the wrong mentality. Now, you've heard it said that you have to have a certain mindset. In sports, you have to have a certain mindset before you ever go out there. It's not going to work. If you're a salesman, you have to have a certain mindset before you get out. You go out there. You got to begin to believe that you can do it and that you'll make sales and so forth. And you know, we have to build a certain mentality into our thinking. And that mentality has to be what God says about us, not what somebody else says, but what does God say about us? You know, my grandkid, my boy, grandboys, five of them, and they all drive now, are my son and daughter. If they come to my house, they come right in the door. They don't ask anything about anything. And if they want something, they go to the refrigerator and get it. So what does building a mentality of righteousness mean? So I'm going to talk about walking in righteousness tonight. It means that God wants us to know our rights and our privileges as children of God for what Jesus did for us on the cross. He wants us to know that we have a right to come boldly into the throne of grace. We have a right to be in his presence, just like they have a right to come into that house because of who they are. You have a right to go in to God because of who you are. We need to have a continual conscience that of a right standing with God, or that we are righteous. You know, Romans 5:17, it says that, you know, that by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. That's the New King James. The NLT says, for the sin of one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness for all who receive it and will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. And death there is spiritual death. That's what that means. In the Bible, you need to know whether it means cessation of life or spiritual death. It says you were dead in your trespass and sin, yet you had breathed it, so you wasn't dead. So what death is he talking about? He's talking about the spiritual death, your man on the inside. Now, the older Living Bible, before they did the New Living Translation, said this scripture like this, and I sort of like this. The sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to be king over all, but all who will take God's gift of forgiveness and acquittal are kings of life because of this one man, Jesus Christ. Today, we need to realize that when we were born again, we were put in right standing through the sacrifice and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can experience all of the blessings that belong to us when we begin to realize that when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we are no longer separated from God. We have become righteous in God's eyes. I'll take a little time. I got it to me early. We have to go back and realize it's talking about one man's offense. That was when Adam transgressed and sinned in the Garden of Eden. That's the one man's offense. When he did that, Satan became the god of this world. Paul tells you that in 2 Corinthians 4:4. He tells you that Satan is the god of this world. Now, when Christ came, see, by that one man, he is the father of all mankind. All mankind comes from Adam. Now, when you come and you see Jesus Christ became the Lamb of God, shed his blood on Calvary's hill. Now, I don't have time to go through the whole explanation, but when you get to, you can see the Israelites being delivered from Egypt. They were delivered from Egypt by the blood. They put the blood of the Lamb on the sides of the door and over the top, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Remember the death angel that came? Now, when we, Jesus Christ, become the Lamb of God, like that lamb that the Israelites had to sacrifice this special lamb, they had to, and then the blood was used as you go through in the law, it was used as a covering for sin. And I don't have time to talk about that. But then, when Jesus Christ died on the cross on Calvary and shed his blood, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's applied to our hearts, and we become a new person in Christ Jesus. Those Israelites became a new person in the natural because they were delivered from Egypt's bondage. We become a new person when the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to our hearts, we accept him. We become a new person in Christ because we're delivered from sin's bondage. Okay? Now that's a whole other teaching, but I realized I needed to get that little bit in because it helps you to understand where we're going with this. Now, the moment you were become born again, you became righteous in God's eyes. We can be confident of this. Now, we need to know that through Jesus Christ, God has made his gift of righteousness available to us. I want to read the Amplified of Romans 5:17. For if because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reigned through that one man, that death, that spiritual death, separation from God. Remember, God kicked him out of the garden and he was not exiled from God. Much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself meaning God, reign as king through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now, here it said God's free gift of righteousness. Righteousness is a gift. You can't do anything to earn it. You don't become more righteous than when you're born again. You're as righteous as you're ever going to get. Now, you can know more about God. You can become closer to God. But the righteousness is there. And we are made clean and righteous with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know what they have in the paper today, but whenever I was younger and even... they used to have what they call funny papers. I don't know whether they do not. I don't know. But there was one called Dennis the Menace. Anybody remember that little cartoon character? And so Dennis the Menace and his buddy Joey in one of the cartoons was leaving the home of their kindly neighbor, the lady, Miss Wilson. Now, Mr. Wilson, they had trouble with Mr. Wilson. How many of y'all remember that? Because Dennis was always pulling some kind of prank. But so they were leaving and she had given them cookies. And Joy asked Dennis, he said, "I wonder what we did to deserve this." And Dennis, as only as a child, said, "Look, Joy, Miss Wilson doesn't give us cookies because we're nice, but because she's nice. Our right standing with God is not because of what we did or could do, but it's because what Jesus did." Righteousness simply means right standing with God. That means, we could say it this way, we're in good standing with God. You see, righteousness is the ability to stand before Father God without any sense of guilt, condemnation, or inferiority. The moment we receive salvation, we have the right through the righteousness, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, to go talk to Father God. And actually, He wants us to come to Him at any time and commune with Him. In my dad, Knowing What Belongs to Us, on page 17, he says, part of our redemption includes the fact that we have become the righteousness of God in Christ. That means we can approach God's throne boldly and obtain our petitions without fear or shame. Knowing our right standing in God should change our mentality. Changes us from thinking about condemnation, but it changes us to realize who we are in Christ. It helps us to accept the fact that God knows all about our faults. That's one of the things the devil uses with people. Goes in there, tries to get in their mentality and tell them, "Oh, you couldn't possibly do anything for God. Look at all the mess you've caused. Look at you, you're this, you're that. You can't do this." But realize that God accepts us for who we are. He's redeemed us and made us. Actually, we are not that person anymore. We are a different person. We need to realize that now we are righteous. And that's how God sees us. See, it says here in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him," or in Christ. See, Jesus didn't sin. He took sin. He was made to be sin. New Living Translation. "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made righteous with God through Christ Jesus." Now, actually, sometimes this is referred to as the great exchange. What do I mean? Jesus took our sin and gave us His righteousness. Albert Barnes says it means we are made righteous in the sight of God. That is, we are accepted as righteous and treated as righteous by God on account of what the Lord Jesus had done. That's Albert Barnes in Barnes Notes on the New Testament on page 857, if you want to know. You know, we don't have any righteousness on our own. But through the new birth, we are made righteous. Anybody getting anything out of this tonight? I realize some of you know some of this, but it's good to remind you of this because the devil keeps trying to tell you opposite. You know, if we're a child of God, we're born again, then we are in right standing with God. We are righteous. One of my dad's meetings, he was teaching on righteousness. This is one of the things he loved to teach on. I like it because when Christians really find out who they are in Christ, it changes everything. And so afterward, this man came up. He said, "Brother Hagin, I don't understand what you're saying. I know I'm born again, and I know I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm trying to be righteous." And Dad said, "I want to ask you a question. Are you a man or a woman?" "Why, I'm a man," he said. And Dad said, "How did you get to be a man?" "I was born that way." And Dad said to the man, "That's the way you got to be righteous. You were born that way when you were born again." I thought that's a great example. When we received Christ as our Savior, our old sinful nature was removed and we had become a new person, righteous in God's sight. It's our unrenewed mind that keeps trying to tell us opposite. That's why Paul told us that to renew our mind with the word. That's why we need, that's the way we would say it in this modern day. You see, the enemy wants to keep you from really understanding and knowing the truth about righteousness. Because when you know the truth about righteousness, you know who you are in Christ, what you can have in Christ, and what you can do in Christ. He wants to keep you down. We need to renew our mind. Paul said, bring every thought into captivity. The devil is always trying to give you some kind of thought that tells you, well, you're not good enough. When you become born again, you became good enough. Hello. You know, our righteousness is based on what Christ did at Calvary, not on anything else. As a new person in righteousness, I want to say it again, we have the invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace. You know, I've seen people, they begin to pray and they pray, "Oh Lord, I know I've been so bad. And but Lord, just hear me this one time." I've heard people pray like that. I don't know whether you've heard anybody do that or not. You see, Satan's always reminding us of the past. He wants to bring into your remembrance every wrong thing you ever done, every bad word you ever said. He wants to convince you that you're not worthy to be what the Bible says you are. He tells you, you can't be righteous with the life you lived. See, we got to realize that God give us his gift of righteousness, not because of what we done, but because of what Jesus did. Remember, we go back to what I talked about a while ago, the great exchange. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, he took our sins and gave us righteousness. Now we are somebody with the power of God resting in us to live a life of blessing and receive everything that God said belongs to us. But you got to learn how to live in righteousness. 1 John 2:29 says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. We are made righteous in Christ the moment we are born again. We need to practice living in righteousness. Living in righteousness. You know, most people try, I've heard people say, well, I'm just trying to be as righteous as I know how. Hey, instead of trying to be righteous, know that you are righteous and learn to walk in the righteousness that you have. Anybody ever heard anybody say, they might not have said it in those exact terms, I'm just trying to be righteous. Sometimes they say, well, I'm trying to be as good as I know how to be. That's what they're talking about, right? How many know what I'm saying? Anybody getting anything? Now, when we begin to look at all this, we have to understand that God, and I'll probably say it again, but he sees us differently than he did. Okay? You know, some people, even in some denominations, they talk about you get righteous through your good deeds and conduct and so forth. Anybody ever heard that? You're not doing a good enough good deeds. You know, as we begin to associate righteousness with good works, it doesn't come from the Bible. It comes from a lot of tradition. If you'll study Martin Luther, that was a monk, and he was doing penance, trying to get righteous, crawling up the steps of the Sistine Chapel. And all of a sudden, because he had been penning the New Testament, writing it. That's how a lot of this stuff got passed down. If you study canonicity and bibliology, you'll find out about that. What is that? Somebody said. Somebody asked me the other day in class. I used that. I said, "Oh, bibliology and canonicity has to do with the study of the Bible, where it came from, how it was put together, and so forth and so on." I said those are theological terms, and he jumped to his feet and said, "The righteous shall live by faith." He all of a sudden got a hold of the fact, I don't have to do this for righteousness. I've already accepted Christ. I am righteous. You see, so many times, now, we're supposed to do good. Yeah, I'm not minimizing doing good. We need to do good. We need to do good works. We need to, if we see a brother in need, we need to help him. But all your good works and all your right conduct will never make you righteous. It's through accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, his blood that was shed at Calvary. That's where your righteousness come from. Righteousness came, as a free gift. You can't grow into righteousness. Now, you can grow in other areas, in the spiritual things, but you don't grow in righteousness. Actually, you can grow in faith. Paul told him, he said, Thessalonians, your faith groweth exceedingly. Didn't he? See, there's other areas, in the spiritual areas, you can grow in, but you don't grow in righteousness. What we need to get a hold of is that we're as righteous as we'll ever be the minute we are born again. And when you get a hold of that, then the devil starts bringing all these things to you. You can throw them out the window. Our good works are because we are righteous. We do good works. We don't do good works to get righteous. We are righteous, so we do good works according to what the Word of God said. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Now, another thing we got to do. You got to determine to leave your unrighteous past behind you. Don't dwell on your unrighteous past in your thought life. As far as God is concerned, your sin doesn't exist. So what are you bringing it up for? He's done throwed it out. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you were changed. Now you stand before God as a new person that never existed before. Too many people let the past hinder their forward movement with God. I want you to if you don't do it, go out here on the parking lot where there ain't no other cars, but don't hit one of the light poles. Try to drive your car looking behind you. So why are you trying to live the Christian life and you looking behind? Remembering all that. Hey, once and for all, because you are the righteousness of God in Christ, wave bye-bye to it and say, hey, that person is dead. He's not alive. This new person is going on and living the right in righteousness with God. Focus on walking in your righteousness and receiving the benefits that belong to us because we have become the righteousness of God in Christ. Anybody getting anything out of this? Am I stirring up your remembrances? And you've been taught this, but it's good to be stirred up again about it. In fact, Peter wrote to his constituents and he said, as long as I'm in this body, old King James says tent, but it means as long as I'm in this body, I'm going to keep reminding you of these things. As long as I preach up here, I'm going to keep reminding you of some of this stuff. We need to practice boldly coming to God. Hebrews 4:16 said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. The NLT says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy. We'll find grace to help us when we need it most. Our right standing with God gives us the right to approach God with our petitions, with what we need. I tell this story a lot, but it's a good story. Many years ago, when Denise was about 4 or 5 years old, she come flying down the hall in the administration building over there and run right through the door of her pawpaw's office, my dad, Kenneth E. Hagin. And she didn't bother that his door was closed, and she didn't bother that the secretary said something to her. That's what they were called back then, secretaries. Now they're administrative assistants, do the same thing. I don't know what the difference is, but I guess different title. I don't know. And she opened that door and ran right into her pawpaw's office. Why? Because of who she was. I'm his granddaughter. I can go in there if I want to. In fact, she was running down the hall one time, and one person stopped her and said, little girl, quit running. She wheeled around and said, don't you know who I am? And turned and took off. That's what we need to do to the devil. Don't you know who I am? And turn and take off. We need to learn how to boldly come in and talk to our God. Boldly come in. See, our right standing with God comes because of who we are now. Not who we was, but who we are. You know, I want you to notice that verse said, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am the righteousness of God. I am that. That's present tense. The new person, who you are, the old person is dead, gone, and buried. Leave him there. Don't resurrect him in your thoughts. When the devil comes and tries to uncover him, cover him back up by saying, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You start talking the blood to the devil, and man, he can't stand the sight of that blood. That blood has defeated him. He knows it. So keep reminding him. All right? We need to make daily confession of our faith that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Daily, you need to make some confessions like that. In Romans 10:10, we look at it in the NLT, it says, it's for by believing in your heart that you are made right, are made righteous with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Believing and speaking. So begin to believe you're the righteousness of God and begin to speak I'm the righteousness of God. As you do that, it will produce a faith, a courage in you. You'll be free. Romans there says, we don't have any more condemnation if we're in Christ Jesus. So why do you let the devil keep bringing it up? That the original doesn't exist. That's simply a photocopy that he's got. And when you go with a document, they will not accept a photocopy. They want the original document that you signed and notarized. You can bring a copy of it. That don't work. If you're trying to get on the airplane, and you can bring a copy of your birth certificate. That don't work. They want the real thing. They want the real thing. Am I right or wrong? See, the devil has a copy. The original has been destroyed. It doesn't exist anymore. And now you have a new original document. When I was in the Army, because of what I did, I had a certain kind of passport. When I mustered out of the Army, I had to turn that in because that didn't exist anymore. So I had to go, when I started to travel overseas, I had to go get me a new passport. Hello? That document is no good anymore. Hey, the old man document, it is no good anymore. You got a new man document that gives you rights and privileges that the old one never did. Declare who you are in Christ Jesus. If you confess you're the righteousness of God in Christ, you'll begin to walk in a newness that you've never walked in before. There'll be courage. You'll have courage you never had before. This daily confession, see, will help build that mentality. You got to, in sports, I don't, and other things, you got to think you can before you will. It's your mentality. You may have gone through all the practices. You may know all the plays. You may know. Okay, if I see this, this is what play they're going to run, and my assignment is to do this. If you're on defense, all of that is great and good. But if you don't have the mentality that I can do it, they ain't even no use to getting on the field. Now, I see a lot of these guys that play sports. If you play sports, you understand what I'm saying. But you see, that's what we have to continually put into action what we may know, what we may have studied. That's great, well, and good. But you got to put it in action on the field before you're ever a winner. That's what you got to do here. You got to confess daily. Build up that mentality of who you are in Christ. All right, I'm giving you back some time. They got it to me early. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Say this. I have the righteousness of God. It was given to me as a free gift through Christ Jesus. His death, burial, and resurrection. I have believed unto righteousness in my new birth. I now have right standing with God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I can live the life of righteousness. When opens up all the promises of God to me. Because I am a righteous child of God. I am. I am. I am. Who God says I am. I can have what God says I can have. I can do what God says I can do. Because I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't let the enemy take you down the wrong road. He'll do it every time if he can. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I trust you got something out of this tonight. If you enjoyed receiving as much as I enjoyed giving, we in good shape tonight. I love to teach on the righteousness, the redemptive realities, I call it, who you are in Christ. They're so important. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, if you happen to be in this congregation tonight and you don't know this Jesus Christ that I've been talking about, or you know what it is to know him, but you're just not where you're supposed to be, or if you're watching online and you're in either one of those categories, right there where you are right now, you can change your life simply by praying this little prayer after me. Whole congregation, y'all repeat this after me. If you're watching, you repeat it too. Heavenly Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. He died on the cross and shed his blood that I could be righteous. You said if I would believe in him and that he died, he rose again for my righteousness. You said if I would believe that in my heart and confess it with my mouth, I would become that righteous person. I thank you now that you're making me that righteous person. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. I am that new person in Christ right now. Amen and amen and amen. If you're in this congregation and you happen to pray that prayer, see one of these guys in these blue shirts and they'll help you, give you some literature. If you're watching us online and you prayed those, go to your computer and go to partnerservice@rhema.org and let us know about it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, Sunday, right here at 9 o'clock, we have School of the Bible. We're back in session with School of the Bible. And somebody said, what's School of the Bible? Well, that's just a smaller group that gets together according to age and marital status and has a good time worshiping God. And then we have the main service at 10 a.m. right here. So I expect to see you here. Turn around, wave at somebody. Let's do what we need to do in the natural and claim the supernatural. That Psalms 91, no plague shall come near me. No COVID can come upon me in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless. We'll see you Sunday.